May. Then we have a 8-day August revival. And we usually have anywhere. My wife does all the cooking. She's a good cook. And we have people come to our house after church, about anywhere between 50 and 80 people every night. Come over our house and eat, tear up our house, and we just have fun. I played games with the kids, and actually with the adults too. How many of y'all have ever played King Walla Walla? Anybody play King Walla Walla? Nope. Oh man, I got victims here. I got a lot of victims. We played King Walla Walla, and I got everybody. We videoed it. It was a lot of fun. And well, I ain't gonna tell you about it because I'm gonna have to try it on you. We'll have to do it some one night. Play King Walla Walla, and all the kids loved it until they got had. And But it's good to be here, I'll tell you that. It's a blessing. My wife and I ran all over town today. You know, last 10 years ago, I was here, never went into the Alamo. Never went in. We was out front. Brother Bez took us down there, and we preached on the street and had banners. Brother from Tennessee, Lansing, was here and preached on the street and everything. And I got a busload of teenagers pulled up, or young people. And I got to witnessing all of them, and had one boy get saved in California. He got down on his knees right in front of Alamo. What a thing. A man gets saved in front of Alamo. That was a blessing. And I was looking for somebody today to get saved. Maybe I wanted to try to see somebody else get saved. And my wife and I walked through the down under the water and all that stuff. That's cool. That is cool as anything. But my wife wanted me to make this announcement. The brother got up and said, "Brother Buddy Blanco is going through surgery." No, he's not. He's already had surgery 2 months ago. He had a heart valve replaced, and he just had chest pains, and they rushed him to the hospital because they were concerned that something might be wrong. And I've known Brother Buddy for years and years. He's a good friend and evangelist and travels all over the country, and he tries to be a blessing to churches, and he is. So y'all just pray for Brother Buddy. I don't know, you ever have Brother Buddy down here? Never had him? I'll tell you what, he'd be a blessing. He's got some CDs out, the singing tapes. I'll tell you what, we listen to them. And the kid, we sing them songs and go down the road shouting and having a good time. I get wild when I get shouting and stuff. I do donuts in the middle of the road. I pull up and I just do donuts and just, you know, crazy stuff. That was from my old ways, my old past. But I still like to see, I like to smell a rubber burning. Amen. I like to do burnouts and all that stuff. John chapter 7 tonight. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 7. And look at this verse. This is a wild verse. And here you are tonight. You're sitting here. If you're saved, how many in this room you know you're saved tonight? You know you're saved. All right. If you know you're saved, what a blessing. And have you ever thanked the Lord that what he's done for you and about giving you the Spirit of God? I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Baptists a lot of times are afraid to say Holy Ghost, and I'm not afraid to say the Holy Ghost. And I'm not like a charismatic saying that, but I tell you what, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is a third part of the Trinity. He's inside you. He's in there, and he is God inside you. And we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost tonight. But look in John chapter 7 and look at verse 39. And it says this, or back up to 37, it says, "In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost," notice what it says, "was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." A man up to this time did not receive the Holy Ghost like you and I received. When you got saved, the Bible tells us that in Romans 8, when you got saved, you received the Spirit of Christ. And it says, "He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his." Now, you're sitting here tonight, and the Holy Ghost of God is inside you. And he's there. He's there, and he's present. He's present and accounted for. Now, being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It tells you that. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with something. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with yourself, or you're filled with another spirit. I've dealt with unclean spirits. And here we're coming up on Halloween. And everybody, the world goes crazy over Halloween. Why? They talk about goblins and spirits and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. That stuff is no joke, man. And when it comes, I've been around. I've dealt with people who had unclean spirits in them. Paul dealt with a woman. A lot of times we think somebody got a devil in them. We think of somebody foaming at the mouth and walking around going, ah, you know, like that. Why is it the world is so captivated with this walking the walking dead? People won't miss a show. Why? You know why? Because all the shows that's coming out, all the movies they're making, is in the Word of God. It's all coming, going to come. So the world will say, when the Lord comes back and the rapture takes place, the world's going to say, oh, I seen a movie about that. And this is how it turns out. And it doesn't turn out like the movie says. It doesn't turn out. And the world, the devil is trying to destroy people's minds and mess them up by movies. And we're living in a crazy age of movie crazy people. I mean, you go up to the 7-Eleven or Wawa, whatever it is, and buy you a movie. Everybody got to have a movie on Friday night. Everybody wants to watch the movies. And I like the old gangster movies, man. I like, you know, I like the Godfather, you know. We make you believe something, we're going to make you understand. I like them old movies. I like the John Wayne. When he first told me 10 years ago, we're going to go down and see the Alamo, I'm thinking the John Wayne movie somewhere out in the middle of the desert, man. I said, we're going in the city? You know, come on, man. I thought it was out in the desert. I thought we'd go out in the desert and see, you know, shoot them up, bang, bang, all that stuff. But it wasn't. And but I went through it today. But people are crazy about movies and devils, and they're always making movies about the last days, about these meteorites and coming into Earth, all this stuff. You ever notice that? I mean, it's 80% of, I mean, just movies about something. And I remember when I was in Bible school, Doc taught us, he said, there are 39 plots in the Bible. There are 39 plots in the Bible. Every movie's made from a Bible base when it comes to 39 plots. There's always a man. A good guy. There's always a bad guy. There's always a good woman. And there's always a bad woman. And you always got that. You always, you know, the good guy is Jesus Christ. The bad guy is the devil. The woman is the church, the bride of Christ. Or Israel, the bride of God, the Father. And you got the, you know, the bad woman, which is Jezebel, Mystery Babylon the Great, over in Revelation chapter 17, 18. She's drinking of a cup, sitting on the back of a dragon. And, man, you got people just crazy about movies. So if you go into any class, any school, I preach in schools. I preached at my son's baccalaureate service. They voted. We had so many teenagers saved when our house burned down. My son was going to school carrying his Bible. If you go to public school, I double dog dare you to take your Bible and take some tracts. If not, you're a chicken. You're a chicken. And you're just a wimp if you don't take your Bible and witness to people about Jesus Christ. I say that to my own church. I say it to my own kids. And my son and my daughter, all of them carried their Bibles. My nephew, they all carried their Bibles. They're all in the ministry now. And they carried their Bibles and went to school. And man, they voted who they wanted to preach. They wanted me to preach. And it was the funniest thing you ever seen. I mean, we had Senator Biden there. I preached to Senator Biden. I got pictures of Senator Biden. I told him he was going to go to hell if he didn't get saved. And he said, well, I am saved. I said, no, you ain't. You're saved like a man in the moon. And then I had all these, Sunday school superintendents superintendents of the school board of Delaware and all that stuff. And I preached to them. And what I did, I gave my testimony to them. And it was funny. They had a whole platform full of these teachers and all these representatives. They had colonels from the Air Force, Dover Air Force Base right down the road. And they have all these representatives there. And I got up and they said, can you lead singing? And the guy that got me in there was my son's teacher. He's saved. And he knew what was coming. And he knew exactly what was coming. And he sat there and put his head down. And he was praying. And he said, somebody said, can somebody lead singing? I said, I'll lead a song. So I led a song. And I got shouting and everything. And everybody was looking around. I mean, we had hundreds and hundreds of people there. And I got up and I gave my testimony where I came from. All the teenagers, all the kids that were graduating were all over here. And I was giving a lot of them rode our buses at that time. We had 90 teenagers at one time. We don't have that now. But we had 90. It's something about, man, just it seemed like the next generation is going down the drain when it comes to spirituality. And now you might be saved and you might be a spiritual young man or young woman. Praise God. Hallelujah. In this generation. But anyway, I'm preaching, I'm giving my testimony and everything, and I went down, and I said, I never graduated from high school. And I looked back, and all the kids started laughing. I said, I got kicked out of eighth grade. I was carrying a gun when I was 14 years old, going to school and all that. And I'm and Senator Biden, everybody was there like, and they, I looked back on the platform, and here they were, sitting up here, and they were going like this. They were going, who invited this guy? Where did he come from? And I preached and gave an invitation. And we had some people raise their hand for salvation and everything. I mean, I'm talking about colonels there. I preached at the Dover Air Force Base. And then I was invited to go down to Washington, D.C., and I went to the Republican Party convention. It had $1,000 dinner plate. Guy paid my way. He wanted me to come. He just wanted to see what was going to happen. And we went in there. I mean, I went in there, thousands of people. We were sitting in a hotel there in the big dining room. They had, I guess, 1,000, 2,000 people sitting there eating. $1,000 dinner plate. That's when Bush was in the office. And they had Cheney speaking. They had, and I'm sitting over here. Cheney was here. And I'm sitting over here with senators and congressmen and everything. I'm an ex-convict, folks. I mean, man, if they would have knew where I came from. And they went around the room. They had cameras, and they had, you know, everybody was recording everything. And they had the lights on every table. Everybody had to stand up. I'm sitting with congressmen from South Carolina, Illinois, and they all gave me their cards. They thought it was the coolest thing. Everybody's wearing tuxedos. I'm wearing a suit. And women are in gowns and everything. And I stayed in the hotel Hilton there, and I just rode the elevator all day long, just rode up witnessing everybody. I had a blast. I'm telling you what, I had fun. Man, was it fun. I was trying to find a Coke, so I asked a couple of Mexicans. I said, hey, man, where can you get a Coke? He said, we got some in the servants' quarters back there where we serve. And I went back there and got a Coke, and the guy said, hey, man, you ain't got to go back there and get no Coke. He said, look, I gave you a card. You can get anything you want on any floor. And he showed me the card. I go in there. I could buy anything I wanted on the card. It was free. I went, woo. I wish my wife was here. I wish I could have brought the whole family. Oh, man, that would have been a blessing. I mean, but anyway, I got there, and the light came on, and I stood up, and I'm under the light, you know. And the congressman stood up, Congressman so-and-so from South Carolina. They went around the table. I stood up. I said, I had my Bible on my lap. And I stood up, and I went like this. I said, my name's Alan Ryman. I'm pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Smyrna, Delaware. I believe in heaven real and hell hot. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell.
Amen. Yeah.
And all those people went. I went, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. People were coming up, patting me on the back, saying, man, we need somebody like you. I said, oh, yeah, that'd be something. But anyway, the Bible says that they didn't know, they didn't never hear the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost God inside you. And you either got God's Spirit in you and God's power. Now, the Bible says the Spirit in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost came on Saul and it left him. And David was scared to death in Psalm 51. He said, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He was worried he was going to lose it. Now, you and I can't lose the Holy Ghost. He's there permanently. Why? We'll get into that in a minute. He's there. The Holy Ghost is there. So God wants you to realize and be concerned about the Spirit of God inside you. He can be offended. People always talk about, I'm offended. You can offend God, His Spirit. And you don't want to do that. And the Bible says, look over in Acts chapter 19. Look in Acts 19. Look what it says here. And it says, and it came to pass, verse 1, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Look what they said. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, under what were you then were baptized? And they said, on the John's baptism. Then said Paul, John really baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, but that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now these are Jews at that got saved, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, if you read the book of Acts, people received the Holy Ghost about four different ways. But once you once we got through the book of Acts, in the book of Romans, it's established, and they didn't realize, but in the book of Romans, it's established, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Ghost. You're sealed. And now, like I said a minute ago, you either got God's spirit in you, or you have another spirit. Now, I've dealt with people with other spirits, and I've had to deal with folks. When I first got saved, I'll never forget, John Garner and I was running around, and we was running around witnessing everybody, preaching on the street. I mean, we was doing everything. And we ran into this boy, and he was telling us about how bad his father was. His father, we found out his father was a graduate of Bob Jones University. He was a Baptist preacher. And that boy, anytime you mention anything about getting right with God and everything, that boy went crazy. He was a preacher's son. And that boy went wild. And I'll never forget, I didn't know. God gave me some experiences that I look back on as I was growing. I learned how to deal with them. And this boy, man, when I said anything about rock music or long hair, he went into a spasm. Back then in the 70s, long hair, you know, I had a problem with long hair. And see, I had long hair, had, you know, beard, all that stuff. And I wanted my own music. And I was trying to make up music for Jesus and all that stuff. And I wanted all that stuff. I wanted to be what I wanted. I wanted Jesus to be what I wanted, and not what he wanted me to be. And I had to finally yield and say, okay, God, whatever you want, I want to do it. I want to honor you. I want to be obedient to you. And if you get that kind of attitude, Lord, whatever's right, I want to do it. Whatever's wrong, I want to quit it. But I've dealt with people who have unclean spirits. And this guy, we were riding down the road, and we said something about rock music and long hair. This guy reached up and grabbed John Garner by the throat while he was driving and tried to strangle him. And I just turned around and nailed him upside his head. And he bounced back. Man, I didn't realize this boy had an unclean spirit in him. But he was foaming at the mouth. And I was punching him in the head and punching him in the head. He was bouncing back like a spring, man. Boom. And I, bam, and he, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And I thought, man, what is the matter with this kid? He didn't even feel it. He had an unclean spirit. I've dealt with it now since being a pastor. I've had to deal with that stuff. When I went to Bible school, I went to work for a concrete company. And I was driving a concrete truck. And this guy, I was witnessing to, he was a manager of the concrete company. And his name was Walter, and I led Walter to the Lord. Big old black boy, about 6'5". He was my boss. And Walter, he said, preacher, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you. I was 21 years old. He said, I'm going to pay you an hour a day to witness to every one of our men. I'm going to pay you an hour a day to come in my office and witness every man. So that's what I did. Every day, he'd bring me in from driving a concrete truck, and I would witness to every man. And he finally told me, he said, these guys were getting saved. Some of them weren't getting saved. And he finally told me, he said, you got to witness to my best friend. My best friend, this guy I grew up with, we went to school together. We did everything together. And when I was in Vietnam, this guy watched over my family. He took care of my family. He said, he's got to get saved. He's got to get saved. I said, Walter, pray. I'm 21 years old. I didn't know how to deal with anything. And I mean, I knew how to lead somebody to the Lord, but I didn't know how to deal with a lot of things. And this guy comes up that day, and Walter calls me up and says, preacher, he's here. Come on in. Where you at? And I came in. And I'll never forget, folks, I walked up to this guy, and Walter is standing there, and he puts his arm, Walter's 6'5" now, and Walter carried a big old knife in his back pocket, and Walter puts his arm around this guy, and he says, go ahead, preacher, tell him about Jesus. And we're outside. And I walk up, and I say, hey, how you doing, man? And the guy's just staring at me. He's just like this. And I said, hey, how you doing? I said, are you saved? Are you washed in the blood? And as soon as I said to him, are you washed in the blood? His eyes rolled back of his head. I went, whoa. I didn't know how to deal. I thought it was just a coincidence. Maybe he got an eye problem. So I didn't know how to deal. And Walter kept saying, go ahead, preacher, go ahead. And I was just staring at him. I was in shock too. And I said, are you washed in the blood? I was telling these stories at camp. I had all these kids walking around to each other, looking each other in the eyes, going, are you washing the blood? Are you y'all going to be doing that to each other here soon. You'll be walking up to each other. Are you saved? Are you washing the blood? To watch your eyes. Now, folks, I led a guy named Billy Anderson to the Lord. Billy Anderson, he went street preaching every day down in Washington, D.C. I'm going to tell you something. This is how real the unclean spirits are. And how it is. Every day we walk by people, they got spirits. And you listen to whatever music you're listening to, it gives you that spirit. Whatever you're around, the movies you watch, it gets you that spirit. You know, I used to watch the Kung Fu movies. We come out, we'd be chopping each other and all that stuff. You get in that spirit of fighting, you know, you want to, you know, everybody was Kung Fu fighting, you know, that kind of. And you get this spirit about you. But this guy, Walter, I stood there and I said, and Walter said, go ahead, preacher, tell him. And I said, are you saved? Are you washing the blood? And the guy's eyes rolled back his head again. I went, all right, good meeting you. See you later, man. I walked off. I didn't know. And Walter said, preacher, where you going? I said, I'm done with this conversation. And the next day, Walter says to me, he said, preacher, how come you didn't talk to him? I said, Walter, dear, how long have you known this guy? He said, I've known him all my life. He said, man, we like this. We grew up together. He said, man, he took care of my family. I love him like my own brother. He's not my brother, but I love him like my own brother. He said, why you ask? I said, have you ever noticed he had any medical problems? And Walter said, no. If he had medical problems, I'd know about it. He said, why you ask? I said, no reason. He said, preacher. Walter, like I said, 6'5". He said, preacher, you didn't ask that for no reason. Why are you asking that? I said, Walter, I don't want you, you just got saved, you don't understand. I said, I don't even understand everything. But I said, you just got saved, there's no, you don't need to concern yourself. He said, preacher, I want to know what is going on. I said, this guy might have an eye problem you don't know nothing about. He said, what do you mean an eye problem? What were you talking about? I said, well, remember when you had your arm around him? I said, I walked up. He goes, yeah. And I said, are you saved? Are you washing the blood? He goes, yeah. And I said, his eyes rolled back his head. Now, black folks get really weirded out when you start talking about spirits and all that stuff. And Walter said, his eyes did what? I said, his eyes rolled in his head. He goes, what do you mean they rolled in his head? I said, he was looking at me, then he wasn't. It was, his eyeballs are there, his pupils are there, and then all of a sudden, white. And then he's not home. And I said, it happened twice. And he goes, what is that? I said, I don't want to say. He goes, come on, preacher, you got to tell me. I said, man, I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know how to deal with that. I said, I've never dealt with anything like that before in my life. I said, but he said, I said, if it's not a physical problem that he has, he's got a devil in him. And you know, Walter went nuts. He said, that sucker been coming around here all his life. I've known him all my life. I'll kill him. He come around here, I'll kill him. I ain't going to have that thing on me. It ain't going to jump on me. No way, I'll kill that sucker. I'll kill him. I said, Walter, man, calm down, man. Don't do that. Don't freak out, man. And he said, I'll kill him. I'm telling you, preacher, he's going to be here tomorrow. He brings my lunch every day. You be here. You better be here. I said, Walter, I don't know how to deal with it, man. I said, he goes, you better be here because he comes here every day and brings my lunch. And all of a sudden, I'm out there with a truck. I'm driving this concrete truck. And all of a sudden, over the video, Walter says, preacher, where you at? You know who is here, and you better get here. And I said, Walter, the main office is listening to our conversation. I said, man, you better cool it. He's like, man, I ain't going to let them in the building. He ain't coming to my building. You hear me? I kill him. I'm telling you, preacher, you better get it. I said, Walter, calm down, Walter. I'm going to calm down until I get there. And when I pull up, Walter's on a loudspeaker telling him, you devil, you get out of here. And he's yelling to this guy, and I pull up this crane car, and the guy sees me coming, and the guy takes off running. And Walter comes out, and when I get out of the truck, Walter comes out and says, hey, you devil, come back here. And the guy walks back, and he says, come back over here. And Walter, he's holding on to me. He's 6'5", and he's holding on to my arm. And I'm going, man, I don't know how to deal with this either, man. I've never dealt with this stuff before. And he's holding on to my arm, and he walks up, he says, come back over here. He says, stay right there. He says, go ahead, preacher. Go ahead. Ask him. And I said, Walter, don't freak out. And the guy stood there. I'm not kidding. He's like a zombie. Isn't it funny how people are crazy about the zombie movies? And this guy's standing there, and he stands, looks at me. And Walter said, go ahead. Ask the magic words. I said, are you saved or are you washing the blood? That dude's eyes went boop. I turned around, Walter let go of me, and he was He ran off the property, ran down the road. That guy took off, got in his car. I never dealt with him again. I've dealt with folks, I was telling these stories. I had a lady in our church, and she had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to her house. She called me up hyperventilating. And she called me up, and she said, you ain't going to believe what just happened. And I said, what? She said, these Jehovah's Witnesses at my door. And she said, I asked them, are you saved? Are you washing the blood? And she said, one of the girls, her eyes went bloop. She said, I told them, don't touch me. Get away from me. Don't touch me. And she said, I wanted to run. If you ever seen anything like that, you'd want to run. She said, I wanted to run, preacher, but I didn't. She said, I asked her again when her eyes came back. When she came back home, I asked her again if she was washed in the blood. And she said, her eyes rolled again. And she said, I told her that she needed to be saved. She better get saved. I was on a roof in Florida, working on a roof, and these people worshiped Satan in the house. They just moved out. And I was putting a roof on, and I was three stories in the air. And every time I walked up the steps, I know I'm freaking out. It's near Halloween, so... Every morning I walked up the steps, they had a picture of Satan on the wall, and his eyes would follow me. And I could feel the back of my hair, of my head, would stand up. I was up on the roof one night, it was dusk. And I'm working on this, this is how I worked my way through Bible school. And I'm up on the roof, and I'm putting shingles back on, I'm leaning over the edge, and I'm nailing three stories up. I felt these hands go, bam, and hit me in the back. So what'd you do? I screamed like a girl. Lord, no! I mean, I crawled backwards all the way up to the peak of the roof. And I was going, God, help, Lord. Protect me, Lord. Them hands hit me in the back. The devil knows who you are if you're saved. He knows that the blood of Jesus Christ is on you, just like when the death angel crossed over in Moses' day in Egypt, and they said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The devil knows who you are. And he wants to get rid of you. And that's why the Bible tells you to put on the whole armor of God. Because we're in a battle. Most Christians go along, they're conscientious objectors, they mock, I don't know, and they get slaughtered. They get knocked out of church. They get knocked out of serving God. Because they don't realize we're dealing in a spirit world, in a spiritual realm. And the Bible tells us, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I had a guy call me up. I told these stories. I got a lot of other crazy stories, too, like this. But I told these stories about being unclean spirits and stuff. I've had people tell me, preacher, can you come over pray over my house? My children wake up in the middle of the night. There was a man standing at the end of the bed. He has a top hat, all black. I said, I know who that is. He'd been in the church. I've been in my office at night, on Saturday night, and I hear the piano start playing. You know, the church is the most freakiest, scariest place there is when everybody's gone. Why? Because the devil likes to come and try to steal the glory of God. He's always tried to do that. And he's trying to steal the glory of God in your life. So when you glorify God, he don't like that. And when your life glorifies God, he doesn't like that. So he tries every which way to try to get you rather to curse God or get mad at God or something happened in your life and you want to blame God. And then he goes, job well done. So I had a guy call me up. He said he was working in a Catholic, home. Used to be up in Delaware, and they had one side over here. When you walked in the building where all the priests lived, every time I walked in there, I felt like something was crawling. We was trying to buy it at one time. We wanted to start a boys' home there. We tried to buy it, and whenever I walked in that building, I felt like things were crawling on me. I could feel it. And then they had the nun side on the other side. This guy was a heat and air conditioned guy, and my son Samson worked for him, and so did some other boys in the church. And he was down there by himself in the basement of this home. It's a three-story building, four-story with the basement. It was huge, huge place. And he fired up the heater. And he was down there working on it. And it was a great big boiler. And he had just fired it up. And he said, He was leaning in there, and these hands hit him in the back and tried to throw him in. And he went, come on, guys, stop playing. He thought my son or somebody snuck up on him, but they weren't there. And he said he got out and he looked, and he said something went up the steps. It looked like a priest outfit from the old days. It went up the steps. I said, he calls me outside. He's out there looking at the building. He won't go back in unless I came up with him. And he's going, and he's hyperventilating. And he says, oh, my God, he's at the window. Top hat, black. I've been in my office. I came out. The piano's playing. And I seen the thing at the back door, right at the back door, standing there. The lights were in the foyer, and he's standing there. And I said, what'd you do? I went, hey, are you washed in the blood? I think, whew. It's happened 3-4 times. I've come out of my office, there he is, standing there. Silhouette. I said, hey, are you washed in the blood? And when you mention the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the most powerful thing there is. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I went to houses and I prayed. This one guy said, I went in the house. He said, my daughter screamed. I ran down the hall. He said, something came out and hit me and knocked me down. He said, what was that? I said, you sit around and watch scary movies. You're inviting that thing. Because the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Everybody likes to go to see them scary, watch them scary movies, and the devil gets glorified. The music, if you didn't have music in the thing, you know, the music is a big part too. If you didn't have music and you'd laugh at it, but the music goes, you go, scares you. Now, I started out saying, they didn't know the Holy Ghost was yet given. And you know what? When you don't live right, the Bible tells us that you grieve the Holy Ghost. You quench him. And guess what? When you do that, guess who knows? The devil. He knows it. He knows when you're not obedient to God. He knows it. People think, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Who cares? I can do whatever I want. As long as I got a log cabin over in the glory land. No, the Bible tells you to put on the whole armor of God because it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So I've had people hate my guts. I walk in a room, people hate my guts right off like that. I tell people everywhere I go, I say, I don't care. I really don't care if you like me or not. It makes no difference to me. I don't care. People are so prone to this peer pressure. They worry about everybody liking them. I don't care. I really don't. I want you to. I want my brothers and sisters to like me. But I go somewhere, I don't care if they like me or not. It makes no difference. I go preach in prisons. I tell the guys, I don't care if you like me or not. It makes no difference to me. I don't care. I always go like this to them. I say, please like me. Please. They laugh. But, folks, you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. The Holy Ghost regenerates. I want you to see that. The Holy Ghost regenerates you. And the Holy Ghost, he has a job. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 16. Look at this, John chapter 16. I remember as a little kid, Halloween came up. And my dad was something else. He was crazy. When I was in the county, when I was in state penitentiary, my father was in the county jail. But my dad had, he was a worker, and he worked in. My father, we went out, me and my brothers went out on Halloween, my sister, I was just a baby. I'm probably about his size, and I'm out with them. And we're out on Halloween. And by the way, Halloween's coming up, take tracks. If kids come knock on your door, give them tracks and give them candy. Take tracks, give it to them, because that may be the only gospel witness they'll ever get. But anyway, I was about his size, and I was out, and we were mean kids. We were very mean. And my brothers taught me to be mean. I'm the baby, and the baby's usually the worst one. And there was a woman that used to walk around our neighborhood, and her and her brother, their name was Hawkins. Her name was Patsy Hawkins. He was Buster Hawkins. And they had a cleft palate. They had a speech impediment and all that stuff. And they were old, but they never married and everything. And they would walk, and we would make fun of them and mock them, and we would throw
you know, throw stuff at them. They would walk around, they wouldn't even walk through our neighborhood because we would make fun of them and mock them. As a little kid, I would make fun of them. I found out later they were saved, and when I went to apologize to them, she said to me, she said, "Oh, Brother Allen," she said, "I'm so glad you got saved." She said, "I've been praying for you all these years because you were so mean." My dad dressed up like Patsy one night. And we was out Halloween, and we trick-or-treating, and we seen a light on a bridge, and we thought it was her standing there. And we were making fun of her, mocking her. She was in her 30s at the time. And we all picked up stones, and we hit her with stones. And she started chasing us. And everybody took off running. They thought she went crazy. And we're running. I'm telling everybody, "Wait up, wait up. She's gaining on me." And I mean, we're running as far as we could, and she's gaining on me. I'm thought, this woman's going to kill me. I'm just a little kid. We ran in the house. I slammed the door. She opened the door, came in. Found out it was my dad. We were throwing rocks at my father on Halloween. He was dressed up like Patsy, and we was hitting him with rocks. Served us right. Amen. What a blessing that was. My father beat the tar out of us. Look at John chapter 16. Look at John 16. John 16 verse 8, it says, or back up to verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Notice what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. He's our Comforter. So what people try to do is they try to get comfort from Facebook, and I'm not against you putting, but don't tell everybody, you know, about all your personal business on Facebook. Good night. Who cares if you're going to the bathroom and you got pains in your stomach? Good night. People put all kinds of stuff on Facebook. They put all that stuff, and they think if somebody really cares about what they're going through, or they want to make people jealous. Look where I'm at. I'm down here. And they do all that stuff. But anyway, the Comforter, if you're going through troubles, the best comfort you can get is from God himself. And he's inside you. And now the Bible says the Holy Ghost, when he comes, Jesus said this, he said, will not come unto you if I depart. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. On righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because of the prince of this world is judged. Now, the Lord tells us that the Holy Ghost, his job is to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he does a good job at it. He'll convict the world and us as children of God. When the Holy Ghost is inside you, and he's convicted you, and he's convicted you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, you're supposed to judge yourself though you won't be judged. And the Holy Ghost's job is to come and be a comforter to God's children and also to convict. That's his job. And he's inside of us. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's." So the Bible says the comforter's inside you, and it tells you don't grieve him. And then it tells you, it warns you, if you continue grieving him, then God will take you home. It says, him will God destroy. Now, you're all looking at me kind of funny. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or back at chapter 3. Chapter 3. Look what it says. It says, "Know ye not," verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God" what? "For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So the reason why the temple of God is holy is because the Holy Ghost is in there. And we've got to be careful about how you live. The job of the Holy Ghost is to comfort his God's children, convict, and of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the Holy Ghost, God's given, and boy, what a blessing it is. I mean, I'm glad that the Lord allows the Holy Ghost to come inside of us. And the Bible tells us he's holy. Why? Because Jesus Christ is holy, God the Father is holy, and he's in us. So we got to be careful. I had to learn this lesson, folks. I'm telling you what. I've learned about spirit and all that stuff. I'm still learning. I'm still learning a lot. I was going to tell you a minute ago, my wife and I was in D.C., and a friend of mine I led to the Lord, he was walking on the streets, preaching on the street all the time, and he walked by a guy. Now, check this out. He walked by a guy, and he said, right on 14th Street, Washington, D.C., he went like this, gave a guy a tract. He said, "Hey, man, you want to get your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus?" And the guy went crazy, stripped all his clothes off, and ran down the street, and two cops are walking to be, tackled him, and threw him in back of a paddy wagon. My wife and I was in a restaurant, and my wife said, "These two guys were outside fighting." And I can't let people fight. And I'm the kind of guy, I got to get involved. So my wife said, "They're fighting." We was in the restaurant. She said, "They're fighting." So I went out there to break it up. And this is no lie, folks. I go over there, and they were on the ground, both of them on the ground, and it was right in front of a bar. And I get over there, and I say, "Hey, man." I lean down like this. I say, "Hey, man. Hey, you guys fighting? And let me help you up and get back at it." No, I didn't do that. I said, "Hey, you guys fighting?" And they just looked at me. And the one guy started growling at me. He went, "Rrr." And when he did, I stood back up. And I went, "Hey, man, the blood of Jesus Christ, wash away your sin." He jumps up, and the other guy grabs him. He knocks the other guy over. And he takes off running to a trash can. And I'm standing there. I'm watching this guy. He goes to the trash can and grabs 2-quart bottles of beer, breaks them, and runs back at me. And he runs at me. And I was like 22 then. I went, "Stop in the name of Jesus Christ by shed blood." I mean, I was yelling. And that dude froze. He went and dropped the bottles, turned around, and walked down the street like he had forgot everything he did. I've had that happen to me a couple times. And I went, "You said, what did you do?" I point my finger at him. I went, y'all get that in a minute. No. I'm telling you just how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. And you got God inside you. It says, "Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world." You got something powerful inside you. It's more powerful than any atomic bomb. God's power is through his spirit. And you can be filled with the spirit. When the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit." You can be filled with the spirit and have God's power in your life to overcome sin in your life. A lot of people, I've deal with drug addicts all the time. We have drug program up the church, and I've had... I don't know how many drug addicts and people, they say, "I can't do it, I can't." You can. I was a drug addict. My father put beer in my milk bottle when I was a baby. I drank beer like it was going out of style. When I, at 13, 14 years old, I stole a Colt 45 truck and I unloaded it. I was selling it and actually giving it to my guidance counselor teachers, all my teachers, try to get a good grade, you know. I got kicked out of 8th grade. I was drinking the stuff like crazy. And smoking dope and drinking all that. And then when people come and tell me how hard it is for them to get right and I said, "Man, I couldn't read. I was doing drugs. I was in prison. And you're going to tell me how hard it is? And you've never been there? And here you got it made? And you're going to tell me you can't live for God because it's too hard? Amen. Give me a break, man. Don't tell me that." I've come close to, I've grabbed people, I've slapped them upside the head. They start telling me, "I just can't do it. Shut up. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I claimed some of them promises. I said, "Lord, I'm stupid. I don't know nothing. Help me." I've had to deal with unclean spirit people. Don't tell me you can't live for God. There's a spirit, man, in this, I'm telling you, there's a spirit now that more power out there in this world right now. There's a spirit, and you just can't. You just feel like there's so much pressure on me to do wrong. There's so much pressure in this world right now to do wrong. Why? The devil knows his time is short. God's looking for some men and women that have some guts and have some backbone that will stand for God no matter what. I want my children and my grandchildren to say, Papa is going to do what's right no matter what. Amen. You ought to want your family to say, they're going to do right and I don't care what. Amen. God's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you the power. Good. He's given you that power. And we don't use that power. We think, well, this is too hard. Amen. Shut up. I just can't do right. Temptation so gets me every time. You don't. I could tell you, my Lord, man. Tell you some stories. It might end up coming out anyway. The Holy Ghost regenerates us. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I'm going to try to hurry up. John chapter 1, verse 13. It says in verse 11, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, them gave he what? What? What did he give you? Power. You know, young men, everybody wants to be a rock star, movie star. Why? Because it brings power in their life, they think. It's the wrong kind of power. They want power. I had a boy that came to our church. And he was going to Christian college, Liberty College. And he was with this. How many of y'all have ever heard of Good Charlotte? You ever heard of a rock band, Good Charlotte? Well, he was in the band. And he come to our church. He had earrings all over. They were going to a Christian college. And he ended up wanting to marry a girl in our church. And there he's now the youth pastor at New Manna Baptist Church in North Carolina. Him and his wife. And he came to our church. I'd make fun of him. I said, man, what happened to you? It looked like you fell into a tackle box or something. Man, got all these piercings and everything. And I believe that's got a spirit to it, too. Piercings is a big craze now. I have tattoos, piercings, all that stuff. People put some a piercing in their tongue. And you go, you walk into a Dunkin' Donut. Can I help you? With like the black or with sugar. They put it in their tongue. And I go, doesn't that hurt? No, you get used to it after a while. Why would you want to do something like that, man? What's the fact? Stupid. I did some stupid stuff, man, but I'll tell you what. Anyway, what was I talking about? Power, yeah. But as many as received them gave me power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then it goes on down to verse 13. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the Holy Ghost regenerates us, gives us the new birth. He takes and puts our name in the book of life. And man, we're in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you have been quickened who were dead, trespassing and sin. You know, before you were saved, you were good as a dead man. You were dead. I tell people, I said, man, when you got saved, God, he talked about revival. Revival is God getting back what really belongs to him too. God getting it back, reviving. Will thou not revive us again? Get us back to the place where we ought to be. If you've never been to that place, then get to the place where God can do something in your life. And the Holy Ghost is God's given you as the power in your life to be able to overcome things. He regenerates you. I mean, man, he puts you into the body of Christ, and then he's inside you. How would you like to be the Holy Ghost living in you? Something holy living in you. How would you like that? You can't get out. That's what happens when it says, him shall God destroy. What happens is a child of God keeps on. I've preached hundreds of funerals and there's people I've known. I know that God took them out. I know God took them out. Because they would not do right. They wouldn't get right. They wouldn't repent. And the Holy Ghost is there to bring a conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Ghost regenerates you. Now, take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this. I like this. I was going to tell you, I told you a minute ago we were going to get to it. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this. In verse 30. Ephesians 4, and it says in verse 30. Look what it says. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Look what else it says. Whereby you are sealed. My mother, back in the day when I was a little kid, my mother used to can all the tomatoes, and she would do all that stuff. She would, she would seal the seal so they wouldn't go bad. It was a glass mason jar. She would put wax on it, hot wax. I mean, I remember helping her and putting that top on there, and she would put that thing, and it was sealed, and no air. She'd get all the air out, and then she would seal it, and it was sealed. And it was to preserve it. And when God saved you, the Holy Ghost of God came inside you, and look what he says. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I mean, when I got saved, before I got saved, I had a lot of hatred. I hated people. I hated a lot. But man, now it seems like the older I get, the more my heart breaks for people. I want to see people say, I want to see little kids have fun and love God and grow up in church and love the Lord and not turn back. We've had a lot of kids in our church that went out, teenagers went out, got into sin. Now they're coming back, and you say, what do? Do you rebuke them and tell them they were? No, I don't do that. They come back, and they bring their children. They have children out of wedlock or what have you. They come back, and I say, hey, welcome back. Love to have you back in. But they know they were wrong. They know. I've had people come up to me, and I never said a word. They just come up, and they walk up on a platform. They walk up on a platform. I'd be sitting there, and they walk by, and they said, they had tears running down their face. They said, preacher, I'm sorry. I said, what? They said, I'm sorry, preacher. I'd stand up and I'd hug them. I said, look, don't worry about it. Just do right. Just do right. When I first got pastor and first started preaching, I mean, I was like, I wanted to tear everybody's head off. But after you get older and you get a little more wise, and you will just live right, do right, you don't want to see nothing bad happen to nobody. But look, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And you need to be sensitive to that. Take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 8. Check this out. Romans chapter 8. You've probably been taught this already. Your pastor probably already went through all this. Romans 8, look at verse 26. You can't beat the Holy Ghost. You can't beat him. And what I mean by that, you've got somebody in your corner all the time. You've got God in your corner. That verse I just told you said, greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. I'll go in places. I'll go in Walmart. I'll start singing to the top of my lungs. And people look around at me. And I go, the Lord's good. He's good. And people come by and say, what church do you go to? I've told people, I said, you don't want to come to our church. They said, why not? I said, it's just too wild. It's too wild for you to handle it. If you don't like loud preaching, you don't like loud singing, you couldn't handle it. You can't handle it. Now, what? Where is it at? Where is it at? I said, well, I don't want to tell you that. Oh, I don't want to do that. I mess with them. I always mess with folks, and then they get laughing. Look at Romans 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our what? Come on, man. Come on, help participation. Come on. Helps our what? The Spirit of God. Now, you can have the other alternative. Wrong eyes, unclean spirits. I've been in houses where I walked up. I mean, Christian people. I walked up to their house, knocked on the door, and I could feel something going on. I could tell they've been arguing. My wife, you say, me and my wife, we've had arguments. We've been married 41 years, right? 41? Yeah. We got married on February 14th. I didn't have a suit and all that. And I was late for the wedding, trying out a race car, and hurt. You know, I told you all that story. But we've been married 41 years, and we've always wanted the Holy Ghost of God around our house. We want the people come by; they can feel the presence of God. We want them to have that. We want our kids to have it. We want our grandkids to have it. We want the presence of God there everywhere. We even pray when cars pass by the church. We pray, God, get a hold of them riding by. I've had people come into our church and say, you know, every time I rode by here, something inside would say, you need to go there. They come one time and they never come back again. But anyway, that's it. It says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Now notice it. It says, according to the will of God. The Spirit of God is inside you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And you're praying, God, give me money. God, give me. Let me hit the lottery. Oh, God, you let me hit the lottery. I promise you I'll give you half to the church. And the Holy Ghost is going, God, he's lying again. Don't let him hit nothing, because if you know what's going to happen to him, he's just a liar, God. Why do I got to be in him for like, why do I got to stay here? Why don't you just take him out so I can get out of here? So the Holy Ghost of God is inside you. He's making intercession for you. And you know, God answers prayer. Don't get me wrong. God doesn't answer prayer. He answers yes, no, or not now. But he said, he's praying for you for God's will, the will of God in your life. So, you know, most people will miss the will of God. Christians miss the will of God. I want to honestly say this right now. I know I'm in the will of God. I'm in God's perfect will. There are three wills of God. There's God's perfect, God's acceptable, and God's good will. God will allow it. He'll allow you to go on, do your thing. Because why? You're a free will agent. Holy Ghost is inside you. So God wants you to make that decision. Lord, I want you to control my life. So the Holy Ghost is saying, he's praying, God, do this, and he's making intercession for you. So are you in God's perfect will? Are you serving the way you should serve? Are you doing what you're supposed to do in the church or out in the job? Or at the home and with your children, you're doing what you're supposed to do in the will of God. The Holy Ghost is inside you. You're sealed. You're sealed to the day of redemption. You can't lose your salvation. But here's the thing. You say, what do you mean by being filled with the Spirit? The best way I can describe being filled with the Spirit is getting in the Word of God, but letting God have more of you. And you say, what do you mean? Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. And help me to have the guts to do it. You know, so how do you know? God will say, witness to that person over there. You'll say, Lord, he looked like a killer. He looks like a serial killer. I ain't going over to talk to him. And the Lord said, go witness him. You walk over and you try to be obedient. You say, sir, can I give you something to tell you about Jesus Christ? He saved my soul and everything. And then finally, the guy goes, you know, I was just thinking about that. Thinking about God. God knows who's ready to hear. So the Holy Ghost of God is inside you, making intercession for you according to the will of God. Are you in the will of God? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you serving the way you should? Are you helping? See, you're either a hindrance or you're help. Are you hindering the Spirit of God? You come to church. Most people come to church and sit like a bump on a log. Look like a wooden Indian. How? They don't participate. They don't get involved in the services. They don't, you know, if you smile once in a while, maybe that will help the preacher out a little bit. I was preaching up in Canada, and that guy never smiled. The whole service, I mean, I preached revival there. He sat there, and he would never smile. And when I messed up and said, I said a bad word, I didn't mean to. It just came out of my mouth. I couldn't believe it. And I was embarrassed. I couldn't, because I don't cuss. To me, it's a cuss word. And I don't cuss. And I said something I shouldn't have said. And I went, I'm sorry. And the guy, he fell on the floor laughing. He didn't have no emotion the whole time for 4 days. No emotion. Then when I cuss, he starts laughing. What a thing. The Holy Ghost of God is inside you, making intercession for you. You know what? You know what I pray? I pray, Lord, put the fear of God in me. Give me a tender heart. So what do you? I pray that for my children, my grandchildren. I pray that for you. Put the fear of God in you. Why? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, understanding. The fear of God. The Holy Ghost is praying for you, making intercession for you, and asking, and he knows what's best for you. You know, I'm amazed how people will move according to money. I've had church, folks, I've had churches call me up all over the country, big churches, offer me a position, offer me a pastor. I pray about it, I said, no, I'm not in it for the money. I'm not looking to move to get a name for myself or get a bigger building or bigger church. I have a pastor friend of mine. Every time I call him, if I'm talking to him, and I tell him this church called me, they got a Christian school, they got this, got that. And he'll go, Alan, please recommend me. Please recommend me. I said, no, I ain't doing that. He wants to go somewhere so bad. He wants to be somebody so bad. He wants to have his name out in the sword of the Lord or something. Man, I pray, Lord, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Until I get orders, I ain't moving. Until the Lord says, I got something else for you to do. I just bought a motorhome. I got an old motorhome. I got two of them. And a church, we got a house in Florida. The church said to me, our church folks said, well, you plan on leaving a church and going into evangelism? I said, no. I ain't planning on going nowhere. Let's kick me out. I ain't planning on going nowhere. I want to be in the will of God. I want to do what God wants me to do. If God tells me that's it, that's fine. If he tells me to go to mission field, we're going to mission field. It'd be hard for her to leave because the grandkids. It'd be hard. But anyway, the Holy Ghost is inside you. And the Holy Ghost makes intercession for you. He helps you to study. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 14. He'll help you to study. When I pray about things, I say, Lord, I don't understand that. Folks, I remember going to Bible school. I'd get up at 4 or 5 in the morning. I'd go to work, and I come home. I went to Bible school from 6 to 10. I'd eat my dinner in between school, and then I'd come home and sit at the desk and fall asleep on my desk with my Bible like this and my face in the Bible. I wanted to know what this book said. I wanted to know what God's will for my life was. I wanted to know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things should be added on you. Now the Holy Ghost will teach you how to guide you through truth. Look at this. John chapter 14, verse 26. Look what it says. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, there it is again, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus talking, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance of whatsoever I have said unto you. And so the Holy Ghost of God is a comforter, and also he is a teacher. He teaches you. When you get in this book, folks, this Bible is written in 5th, 6th grade English. And I had people tell me, I can't understand it. I said, man, I couldn't read or write. This is how I learned how to read and write. You're going to tell me you can't understand this? So I read my Bible, and I wanted to learn what the Bible had to say. My wife helped me read. Dr. Upman would come to my house and tutor me privately and teach me things. I was sitting in the classroom, and he was teaching advanced theology. 300 students sitting in there. I'm sitting in the back like this. And he looked back, and he said, Brother Ryman, you getting this? I said, you got to be kidding me, man. He said, well, I'll come over. He'd come over to my house on Friday night and start teaching me, showing me. Here's what the Bible says. He would teach me personally. Why? He took interest in me. But the Holy Ghost was showing it to me. And when you ask the Lord to guide you, direct you, he'll comfort you, he'll guide, and he'll teach you. I'll tell you something else the Holy Ghost will do. Hurry along. Look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15 there, of John chapter 15. The Holy Ghost, verse 26. The Holy Ghost, and when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of what? Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. He's telling those disciples, he said, man, the Holy Ghost inside you is going to magnify the Word of God and show you the truth. You know, God is obligated. Now listen to me. God is obligated to give you the truth if you want it. If you don't want the truth, The Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When people think they're smarter than God and they think they know better than God, God says, okay, go ahead, have your own way. He's chosen the foolish things of the world, confound the wise. But if a person saying, God, I never forget, I got saved, charismatics came after me. And these charismatic churches, friends of mine, they've come after me. And I went to a charismatic church one night. I told a guy, I said, you go to church with me, I'll go to church with you. So I went to a church that spoke in tongues and all that stuff. And I went to church with him. And I'm sitting there, and this, no lie, man, I'm sitting there, and a guy in front of me was started speaking in tongues. And I remember a verse about the blood. I mean, I was talking, singing about the blood. And I remember I leaned up, and the guy was going, and I went like this. I said, hey, the blood of Jesus. And the guy went, and then he started up again. And a few minutes later, I said, and I went, the blood of Jesus. And then finally, the pastor, he gets up. He says, there's a grievance in here tonight. Everybody looked at me. It's like the Night of Living Dead or something, man. Everyone. And he says, and I mean, I was just saved, man. I knew that wasn't right. It didn't feel right. So I remember he says, let everybody come to the middle and come to the front. And all of a sudden, these people are pushing me into the middle. And they push me down the aisle. So they're trying to lay their hands on me to get me to speak in tongues. And I kept saying, no, y'all going in there. Get on in there. I ain't getting in there. And they said, come on in here. They said, let your tongue loose. I said, man, if I let my tongue loose, you ain't going to want to hear it if I do that. So the Lord showed me about that charismatic thing. I could tell you more. Maybe I got quit. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Man, there's so much. There's so much in this book. Ephesians 4. Check it out. I went to that church down there in Pensacola. I was out in front of Denny's one night, and this guy walks up. He reminded me of the Walking Dead. He walks up. I just come out of Denny's. He walks up. He's got all his backpack. Looked like he hitchhiked across the country. And he came up. It was Brownville Revival. How many of y'all have ever heard of that? It was a charismatic thing. And they were having revival for like 2 years. People were coming. They were like, the guy walks up to me. I'm walking out of Denny's, and I went to give him a track. He goes, where is the revival? I said, oh, we just came out from Bible Baptist Church. I said, man, you talking about? And one of the guys said to me, no, he's talking about Brownsville. So at Brownsville, they say that they went over there. They had to build bigger and bigger buildings because people were coming from all over. And they were coming from all over, coming to this revival. And they had a weird music they played. And Jesse, boy in our church, is blind. He could play that music. It's weird. It's like an eerie spirit that comes in. And they played this music. And the women would get up and do this around. They would all do this, you know. And then the men would get down on their knees and go like this and go, oh, 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 oh. They said that was the Holy Ghost. I said, man, I've been drunk when I've done that kind of stuff. I said, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was an unclean spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter. We were in there. My wife, we pulled up there. I said, let's go bark like the dogs. And we pulled up the church. She said, I ain't going in there. My wife, she was mad at me. So me and my nephew, Chris, and my son, Samson, we all went in there. We sat in the back. And it was just like, I'm not kidding. It was just like when we walked in, it was like Night of Living Dead or something. Everybody just went. And when they look around at me, I go, oh. Oh, oh. I'm mocking them. You say, what are you doing? I'm mocking them. I'm mocking them. So, oh. Ephesians 4. Look at this. Who said you can't have fun? She was mad at me. We all come out of the church. We were crawling on all fours. She was telling me, you stop that. All right. Look at here. Ephesians 4, look at verse 12. God's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Look what it says, verse 12. Ephesians 4, 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the Holy Ghost is going to bring us to that point. And the Holy Ghost is working in. We sing a song in Sunday school. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, 'cause he's still working on me. One day, we're going to be come together in the unity. And God wants unity in the church now. And you know what? Can you imagine if a church, everybody was on the same page and everybody wanted to see the same thing happen and wanted to see people saved and go after people? Can you imagine what would happen? If everybody, I mean everybody, was on board, filled with the Holy Ghost. And it don't make you bark like a dog. And it says, that we henceforth be no more children, verse 14, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. I tell people, grow up! God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow up. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Serve Him. It says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, of whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Boy, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost that God's given us, it brings us more to be more like Jesus. It brings a cheerful and a sweet spirit about you. It brings boldness, because the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, that these men were bold. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they weren't always critical about everything. They were bold to stand for God. And they loved one another in unity and joyful, comforting one another. Man, the Holy Ghost makes intercession and helps our infirmities and our weaknesses. When you get down to pray, say, Lord, you know my weakness. Lord, you know where I need to work on. Remind me. I've always prayed this. Lord, may the Holy Ghost of God quicken me when I start going off path. When I start thinking wrong, may the Holy Ghost of God quicken me and make me get back on path. He will. I double dog dare you to ask the Holy Ghost to show you. He'll show you. He'll work on you. If you say, Lord, have your will and way in my life. If you got an anger problem, Lord, help me with that anger problem. May the Holy Ghost of God remind me when I'm getting ready to lose my temper. Remind me. Don't do that. I've had times where the Holy Ghost, I'd be getting ready to do something and the Spirit would go, don't do that. In my heart, I'll go, oh. I'm telling you something. He's alive. He's real. And He'll show you. You're either filled with His Spirit. It says in the book of John, they didn't even know there was any Holy Ghost. They didn't, in the book of Acts, they didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. They wasn't yet given. Here we are, sitting here tonight, 2017. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. Why don't you have any power? Why is there no power in your life to overcome things, to be a better Christian, to get comfort? Why is there no power? You know whose fault it is? It ain't His. He's already provided. Whose fault is it? It's ours. Father, thank you again tonight for your mercy, your grace. I pray, God, help us, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit. And God, help us let you have your full way in our lives. Well, my Father, I pray, God, help us not to be bitter, complaining, cranky old people. But God, have a good, sweet spirit, loving you, talking about you, joyful. I've seen some Christians to God, I wouldn't want what they got, the way they act, the way they are. I wouldn't want it. But I want a spirit of God that's joyful, comforting, peaceful. My God, I pray help this church, help my brothers and sisters here, God, to seek your Spirit, God, and Father, and have the Holy Ghost have His way in their lives. And surrender to Him. And Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for what you're going to do. Save that one in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Turn it over to the pastor.